You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we are back here. It is Monday. We're starting off the week here with a good episode of Locked On Ravens as we have, again, plenty to talk about, even though it is the offseason and Baltimore is no longer playing football games, at least not until September or actually hopefully August next season when the preseason hopefully gets going. And there probably won't be a full, you know, four-game slate on the preseason docket, but I'm sure that there will be at least two games, maybe even three, who knows, but I don't think it'll be four. But either way, the Ravens are done with football for the 2020-2021 season. The Super Bowl matchup for this season is set, as it will be the Kansas City Chiefs going to Tampa Bay to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who get a home Super Bowl game. So being a team with a home Super Bowl advantage, being in your home stadium, that can always serve as an advantage, and we'll see how Tampa Bay ends up using it. But Kansas City is that AFC juggernaut right now. They are very hard, if not impossible, to stop right now. So the Tampa Bay-Kansas City matchup will be a good one. But here today in our three segments, we're going to be talking a bit in this first segment about what it takes to get to a Super Bowl, because there are certainly plenty of factors to go into it. But I want to talk about one because I've been getting a lot of messages about it and people have been commenting on it from a Raven perspective, and that is intensity. Intensity and, you know, just trying hard and doing all that for a full 60 minutes. There are some people out there who believe that Baltimore does not do that, that Baltimore does not bring that intensity for a full 60 minutes, that sometimes the body language on the team can be almost just awful and just a thing that pulls this team down, weighs on the team throughout games. So I do want to address that and talk about how important it is to have that intensity and that nice body language and whatnot for a full 60 minutes and what my perspective is on how the Ravens handle that type of thing. Then in the second segment, Baltimore made a couple of coaching hires over the weekend. In fact, they made three of them. So we'll be getting into each of those hires, what they mean for this team, and how they will either improve or not improve this team, because they're all on defense. The Ravens have lost a slew of defensive coaches, so that defense took a hit in terms of the coaching department, but with how dominant that defense has been, the coaches who departed surely deserve those opportunities, and the coaches who are coming in are going to really help this defense grow, I do believe. But we'll talk about that in the second segment. And then in the final segment, we'll be getting into the final scores, talking about the Bills-Chiefs game and the Buccaneers and Packers game. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and where there's a podcast, we're there waiting Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern time is when we put out content. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, let's jump right in here, starting off with the intensity and body language factor of this Baltimore Raven team. And I know that some probably will say, this is kind of a weird thing to talk about. This isn't a huge factor when it comes to an organization. But I actually beg to differ. I think it is a really important factor when it comes to looking into how successful an organization is. And part of it isn't just intensity. It's not just the body language factor and whatnot. It's how do the players react with each other on the field? Are they celebrating together? Are they getting hyped up on the bench? Or are they just kind of standing around and, you know, business as usual? They celebrate a touchdown, maybe do a couple high fives, you know, it's something like that. There's a big difference between the two. And part of that reason is teams who are celebrating with each other and, you know, they're getting hyped up on the bench. Those are the marks, I think, of great teams because you are building that culture, not just off the field, but on it as well. The guys who are going out there to play football for 60 minutes, they're fighting for their team. They're going out there, they're laying their bodies on the line, they're playing their hardest for the guy next to them. That's what Lamar Jackson has been praised for so much. And what I believe Lamar Jackson is someone who is such an immense competitor. And there are guys like this throughout the league. But Lamar Jackson is such an immense competitor. It's not about him. It's about the team and the guys next to him. He doesn't want to win a Super Bowl for himself. He wants to win it for his teammates. And that's what I love about Lamar Jackson. And I'm sure that most of his Ravens teammates share that same sentiment. But there have been concerns, and we'll talk about Baltimore's defense because I think that's really where they've come up. There have been some concerns that people have talked to me about or brought to my attention that, you know, for the most part, they're well, we saw the Ravens defense dominate, but there was always that quarter. There was a quarter of time where the Ravens give up all these points and, you know, the defense doesn't look to be there. And even if they're winning, it's like they take their foot off the gas almost. They let teams back into games. Philadelphia was a prime example of that. In the fourth quarter, the defense collapsed and, you know, the offense wasn't necessarily helping them out, but the defense just collapsed. And part of that could be, yeah, you know what? The Ravens tried to coast through the end of that game and that's what it is. Great opponents will come back and try to beat you, even if they're down. Teams who were, again, we saw in like 2017 with the Bengals and the Ravens in that game, it still hurt, so I won't talk about it too much, but in that game, the Bengals didn't have anything to play for. They could have gotten better draft position if they lost, but their guys went out, they competed, they played hard, and they were able to knock off the Ravens who were playing for a playoff spot, and the Bills got in because of that. So it's just a matter of, can you put in that full intensity for 60 minutes, go out there, play the game of football? And for the most part, I do think the Ravens do that. I don't think that's necessarily an issue with Baltimore, but there have been those points. And look, this is a thing for a lot of teams in the league. It's not just a Baltimore problem. And there are a couple of things that go into it besides just an intensity factor. Look, football's a tiring game. It's a draining game, both mentally and physically. When you get into the fourth quarter of a football game, I'll take the Tennessee Titans game, for example. That game goes to the fourth quarter. That game goes to overtime. I mean, that's really tough on teams, because, or especially on defenses, because guys are getting hit at every single turn, every single point. To go through that for a full 60 minutes, look, it's tough. It's tough to do that. So when you look at how Baltimore performs, how teams around the league perform, there is a tired factor to this. There is a, you know what, my body is just so drained, it's beat up right now. I might just want to take this play off or not go at 100% on this play, or else my body literally might not be able to take it. And those are the types of things, for example, in the NBA. You know, when guys get to the free throw line, there are the guys who are standing waiting to get the rebound on those free throws. And there have been articles documented about guys saying, hey, look, do you want to take this play off? Because, you know, I'm just so winded. I'm so tired. My body's beat up. So if the guy makes the free throw, fine. But if the guy misses, you know what? It's yours. It's your rebound. You can get it. There have been documented instances of that come out where it's been on tape where guys will just take that shot off. And even if the guy misses the free throw, they're not battling for the rebound because they want to conserve and save their energy for a play that is going to be bigger in a game than a potential offense or defensive rebound with one free throw. So in the NFL, it's kind of the same thing. Obviously, there are no free throws, but it's more than intensity. Baltimore comes out to play every Sunday. They have come out to play every Sunday for years and years and years. And it doesn't matter who they're playing. They take every opponent seriously. Baltimore has had some trouble sometimes playing down to opponents. That's been documented. It hasn't been as much of a factor in the last couple of years. Baltimore seems to put those inferior opponents away pretty easily. But still, the Ravens do need to play consistent football for 60 minutes. And the body language factor, there have been people who have complained to me about Lamar Jackson's body language, saying he's screaming at the sideline or he's making all these egregious hand motions and gestures and getting upset and just doing all this stuff. Look, that's not Lamar Jackson being a diva or Lamar Jackson getting genuinely upset at his teammates or yelling at someone. The only time I've really genuinely seen that is actually in the divisional round against Buffalo, where the play call doesn't get in on time. Lamar Jackson's waiting to snap the football and the sideline calls a timeout, and Lamar Jackson just loses it. And that's the one time I've seen Lamar Jackson actually get visibly really upset and go and yell at somebody for the point of, hey, look, what are we doing here? But for the most part, it's Lamar Jackson being upset at himself, or he'll be angry that he didn't make a play. It's not Lamar Jackson selling out his teammates. It's not Lamar Jackson being a cancer in a locker room. Lamar Jackson is somebody you want in any NFL locker room. Any team would be happy to have what Lamar Jackson brings to the table when it comes to just the absolute off-the-field perspective of it, and of course the on-the-field perspective as well. But he is somebody who was one of the nicest people ever. You know, somebody who treats his teammates with respect, treats his opponents with respect, treats everybody with respect. That's somebody you want. Yes, he gets emotional about things on the field. He's a competitor. He wants to win. He gets upset when things don't go his way. I think a lot of people get that way. Lamar Jackson shouldn't have to suppress his emotions or be the guy who's just going to work and not doing this, not doing that. Lamar Jackson is happy when things go well for the Ravens, and of course he's not happy when things don't go well for the Ravens. That's anybody who plays for the, okay, well, most people who play for an NFL team. But Lamar Jackson loves his teammates. The Ravens love their teammates. We saw when Tyler Huntley got in that game against Jacksonville and he breaks off that big run. Lamar Jackson is running up the sideline cheering on his friend. That's something that the Ravens have built over years and years and years. And it's honestly amazing to watch. Just watch this team grow together. Watch this team just be together and be one on the field. So yeah, maybe the Ravens don't play consistent football for a full 60 minutes. That's something that needs to be fixed, but it goes far beyond intensity. And yeah, maybe Lamar Jackson shows a little bit of emotion sometimes, but there's nothing wrong with that. It's him being a human being. It's him wanting to win for his teammates, for the city of Baltimore. And that's something that I love about Lamar Jackson. And this team is going places. You know, they're an emotional bunch together. They want to see each other succeed. And that is one of the key factors in getting to a Super Bowl is being able to not only just coexist with their teammates, but having guys who you can call friends for life. You know, Mark Ingram is an example. He called a lot of the Ravens organization guys who were brothers for life, and I'm sure the Ravens organization feels that right back towards him. Guys love to come and play their end-of-career seasons in Baltimore because of the things that they've heard from guys like Eric Weddle, and I'm sure Mark Ingram will have some stuff to say as well. But that's just what the Ravens organization is. And yeah, there are some things they can improve on, but showing emotion is something that this team, it's their identity, and that's something that they should not change whatsoever. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we get back, we'll be talking about the Ravens' coaching hires that they made over the weekend, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. The EX7S is Echelon's latest state-of-the-art innovation that takes cycling to the next level. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind. The EX7S is the bike for competitors at heart. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's echelonfit.com/lockedon. And we return here with our second segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, is still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about what it takes to win a Super Bowl, Baltimore's intensity, Baltimore's body language, Baltimore's love for their teammates. But now let's talk about some personnel changes for the Baltimore Ravens, but not player personnel, coaching personnel. The Ravens have lost a plethora of defensive coaches to other teams. Defensive line coach Joel Cullen became the defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He took another Ravens assistant with him, actually, in Sterling Lucas. The Ravens also lost linebacker coach Mike McDonald to Michigan. He became Michigan's defensive coordinator. And then finally, the Ravens lost defensive backs coach Jesse Minter to Vanderbilt as he becomes Vanderbilt's defensive coordinator. So Baltimore had holes all along their defensive staff to fill, and they have found people for those roles, and those roles have been filled. So we'll start off by talking about the Ravens defensive line coach, who is now Anthony Weaver. He actually is their run game coordinator and defensive line coach. The Ravens hired him for those two positions. Weaver was the Texans defensive coordinator last season. And just to be frank and to get this out of the way, the Texans defense was not good in 2020. It was one of the worst defenses in the entire league, and there's really no arguing that. It was a bad unit. But they didn't bring in Anthony Weaver to call the defensive plays. They called him in to coach the defensive line and also be the run game coordinator, of course. Now, J.J. Watt tweeted out earlier in the weekend that he loves Anthony Weaver. Who consider him a friend forever, and that he might actually have a snap or two left in him, and he doesn't know how many snaps he actually has, but even if he got just one snap, it would be one hell of a snap, apparently, is what he said. So for Weaver, he's somebody who is apparently well-liked, and that is what Baltimore loves. They want their coaches to bond with the players, and Weaver is coming home to Baltimore. Baltimore hired Weaver, and that means that the guy who was drafted in the second round in 2002 by the Ravens, he played four seasons for Baltimore at defensive end, that is Anthony Weaver. He knows the organization, he's been around the organization, and obviously a lot's changed since 2002, 2003, those years, but the Ravens are getting somebody who has experience as a defensive coordinator. He has experience playing defensive end, which is always good. You know, getting playing experience in those positions is always good. When talking about Anthony Weaver after he was hired, John Harbaugh said, quote, "Anthony is highly regarded throughout the NFL. As a former Ravens draft pick who made significant contributions while playing here, he understands the culture of our organization and the standard to which the Baltimore defense is held," end quote. So Weaver is somebody who, despite playing in the league, he played 4 seasons with the Ravens. He actually has a lot of experience coaching as well. He spent the previous 8 years as a defensive line coach. He's been with the Jets, with the Bills, with the Browns, and with the Texans before becoming the Texans' defensive coordinator in 2020. And when John Harbaugh talked about what Weaver does with his defense, because the Ravens took on the Texans in week 2 of 2020, so John Harbaugh gave a little insight on what he thought about Weaver's defense, and he said, quote, "Coach Weaver has put together a mindset that is an attacking type style. On third down especially, they give you every kind of look, every kind of blitz. The coverages behind it are very impressive. They move J.J. Watt around a lot, so you know, you can see he's thinking about matchups all the time," end quote. And more from Harbaugh, quote, "We wouldn't expect anything less. He's a very well-respected coach in the league. He also believes in the fundamentally sound defense and guys who play fast. Those are things we'd expect from a former Raven, of course, and he's doing a great job," end quote. So John Harbaugh really likes Weaver, and he kind of fits in with what Don Martindale does on defense anyway. Going back to the first quote I read about what Harbaugh said about Weaver, "Every kind of look," John Harbaugh said, "every kind of blitz, the coverages are impressive. The Ravens defense is one of the most complex defenses in the entire NFL, and Weaver certainly brings that factor and will certainly bring a fresh mind to be able to go and give his ideas to Don Martindale and to John Harbaugh about this Ravens defense." But as I did mention, Houston ended up having a pretty bad season on defense. They finished 30th in the NFL in total defense. They gave up 416 yards per game, and they finished last in the league in rushing yards allowed per game, so 160.3 yards per game. But I think it's also important to look at what Weaver was working with in Houston. There weren't a ton of talented playmakers on the roster. Obviously, not enough nice things to say about J.J. Watt. He is the star of that defense. There are a couple other guys there too. But for the most part, the Texans lacked that star power on the defensive side of the football. So, you know, Weaver was kind of working with what he got. The Texans had lost DJ Reader, and they had a ton of season-ending injuries. So, looking into, I'm sure, you know, the Ravens don't want to hire anybody based off of past successes or past failures. They want to look at somebody who fits their team and somebody whose mindset fits their team. So Weaver, I think, brings that. And I think this is a phenomenal hire for the Ravens. And we'll see what he'll be able to do with the Ravens roster. Next, the Ravens hired Rob Ryan as their inside linebacker coach, the brother of Rex Ryan, who was formerly the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. Ryan is somebody who has worked for a bunch of teams. He's worked for 7 of them. He has 20 years of experience as an assistant coach. He's been a defensive coordinator for 4 NFL teams, the Raiders, the Browns, the Cowboys, and the Saints. And look, this is just, he has experience. That's what this hire is. He brings experience to a linebacker room that I don't think is necessarily that experienced. You have Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison going into their second years. If you decide to bring back Christian Welch, he'll be going into his second year as well. LJ Ford is really the only veteran in that room. So I think that is going to be really big for the young guys in the Ravens linebacker room. When talking about Rob Ryan, John Harbaugh said, "Rob is a proven NFL coach who brings extensive experience to the Ravens. In addition to his passion for the game, he has an outstanding ability to connect and teach players," end quote. And again, that's something the Ravens want, someone who can connect with the players, someone who isn't just a coach who, you know, goes and, yeah, that's my coach, it's fine. They want someone who can build connections with players and someone who they get along with. So for this Ravens defense, again, I think this is a really nice hire for the team. Rob Ryan served most recently as Washington's inside linebacker coach in 2019, but he hasn't been in the league a ton over the last couple of years. Over the last 5 years, he's only been in the league for 2 of them. He did not coach in 2020. He also did not coach in 2018 and 2017. He was in Buffalo with his brother Rex in 2016, but other than that, the Ravens' new inside linebacker coach has not been in the league a ton over the last 5 years. I think, again, this is a great hire for the Ravens. I know some people might not like it. They maybe want those young guys who can come in, present those fresh ideas. But Rob Ryan himself can come in and present those fresh ideas. He's somebody who I think will be able to rally these young linebackers, somebody who will be able to teach these young linebackers. And again, someone who can connect with those young linebackers. He's won two Super Bowls, both in 2001 and 2002, with the New England Patriots as a linebacker coach. And he's somebody who I think emulates his brother Rex a lot, and someone who, with Ryan, I think that he's a guy who's going to come in, provide passion, provide energy, and just provide an overall positive experience for the whole Ravens defense, especially those linebackers. So I am all on board with this hire, another slam dunk by the Baltimore Ravens. Finally, the Ravens filled their defensive backs coach void as they hired Danton Lynn as their new defensive backs coach. Lynn is someone who is the son of former Chargers head coach and now current Lions offensive coordinator, Anthony Lynn. And he is a young coach. He's 31 years old, and he has 6 years of coaching experience. And he's somebody who, again, is that young guy. He spent 2015 and 2016 as a defensive assistant with the Buffalo Bills, 2017 as a defensive assistant with the San Diego Chargers, and then went to Houston and was their assistant secondary coach for two seasons before being promoted to the actual defensive backs coach for the Houston Texans. So with Lynn, you know, people are saying that this is a hire that doesn't make sense to them. Houston, again, had one of the worst secondaries in the league, but he wasn't really working with a ton of world-class players, guys like Lonnie Johnson and guys like Vernon Hargraves, Philip Gaines, right? That's not Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith and Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott. Lynn is somebody who has a great mind, and he's that young coach who can present a lot of those ideas that a lot of fans are looking for, maybe in the hirings of Rob Ryan. Lynn played football as well. In college, he played for Penn State. He had 162 tackles and 4 interceptions. He played cornerback, made the Jets practice squad as an undrafted free agent in 2012, and then also played in the CFL, or the Canadian Football League. And so the Ravens just going with a bunch of different guys with a bunch of different backgrounds. And for the Ravens, they hired two Texans coaches. So Lynn liked it enough and liked Anthony Weaver maybe enough to go and be the secondary coach for the Ravens. But I think this is just a great opportunity for him to go and prove that he can be a guy for the Ravens to work with a lot of talented players and help them reach that next level. So no, it was not in Baltimore's plans to go out and lose a bunch of coaches, but as we've seen over the years, the Ravens have been a goldmine for teams to hire head coaches and offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators, both in pro and college. Both pro and college teams have kind of poached coordinators and coaches from the Ravens staff. So I think that says a lot about the Ravens as an organization. And they retooled with these new coaches, and hopefully they will be able to provide a boost for this Ravens team and this Ravens defense. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we'll be talking about the scores around the AFC Championship and talking a bit about the Super Bowl. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. The NFL regular season is finished and the playoffs have begun. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens Monday edition episode. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, still here talking with you. And we just talked about the Ravens' new coaching hires that they made over the weekend. But now let's get into Championship Sunday as we talk about what happened in both the AFC and NFC Championship games, as well as get into a bit about what the Ravens need to do to make it to the big game in the Super Bowl. And we kind of talked about that in the first segment, but I'm talking about more along the lines of what is their path to the Super Bowl. So let's jump right into the scores from Championship Weekend, and let's start in the NFC Championship game with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take down the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field, 31-26. Tom Brady goes 20 of 36 for 280 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions, while Leonard Fournette had 12 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. Chris Godwin was the Buccaneers' leading receiver with 5 receptions for 110 yards. And for the Packers, Aaron Rodgers goes 33 of 48 for 346 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Aaron Jones was 6 carries for 27 yards on the ground for Green Bay, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling had 4 receptions for 115 yards and a score as the Packers' leading receiver. Tom Brady makes his 10th Super Bowl as he will get a home Super Bowl game as the Super Bowl is being held in Tampa Bay this year, so the Buccaneers will get to play in Raymond James Stadium for the Super Bowl. Next, let's go to Arrowhead, where the Kansas City Chiefs defeat the Buffalo Bills 38-24. Josh Allen for Buffalo went 28 of 48 for 287 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Josh Allen was also the Bills' leading rusher with 7 carries for 88 yards, and Cole Beasley was the Bills' leading receiver with 7 receptions for 88 yards. And for the Bills, Patrick Mahomes, coming off of that concussion, goes 29 of 38 for 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Darrell Williams was the leading rusher for Kansas City, 13 carries for 52 yards and a score. And receiving-wise, Tyreek Hill lit the world on fire with 9 receptions for 172 yards and no touchdowns, while Travis Kelce had 13 receptions for 118 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Patrick Mahomes goes back to the Super Bowl for the second year in a row, as do his teammates in the Kansas City Chiefs. So for the Super Bowl, we have Tom Brady against Patrick Mahomes in a battle of old versus new. So we'll see what ends up happening. It's going to be a very good game, but I know that the Ravens would like to be there representing the AFC, and I think they would have had a good shot to beat Tampa Bay, but the reality of the situation is that they are not there. But what we have seen is that over the course of these last few years, Kansas City has established themselves as the dominant force in the AFC. They are the juggernaut. They are the team to beat. We can say Baltimore went 14-2. You know, we can say the Bills had a great season in 2020, and we can say that teams like the Browns or teams like the Titans or teams like even the Steelers, who are kind of on their way down now, but still, those are all good teams too. But what we do know is that the Kansas City Chiefs are the team to beat in the AFC. But once upon a time, it was Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. They were that team to beat. It was Peyton Manning's Denver Broncos. It was Peyton Manning's Indianapolis Colts who were the teams to beat in the AFC. And what did the Ravens do eventually? They took their licks to those teams. They suffered hard losses. But eventually they came out of that with victories. They beat Tom Brady in the playoffs. They beat Peyton Manning in the playoffs. They got over that hump eventually. Sometimes it takes a lot to beat some of the greats, and Patrick Mahomes is certainly well on his way to being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. There's, of course, no disputing that at this point. If he continues on the path he is now, he has the opportunity to potentially go down as a top five quarterback in NFL history. So for this Ravens team, their time will come. You know, it wasn't in 2020. This season was definitely a trying time for the Ravens with COVID and injuries and them really trying to find their identity for almost half the season. But they went on a hot stretch. They showed that they have what it takes to go up and play good teams in the playoffs. You know, the teams who are going to be running the AFC for a long time are Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, and Cleveland. Those are my picks for the top four teams in the AFC for a really long time. The Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons, the Baker Mayfields, the Josh Allens. Those are the four guys who I think will run the AFC. Deshaun Watson is a phenomenal player, but until he goes to a team where I think he can win on, I really do think it's those four, and then maybe wherever Deshaun Watson does end up is the five. But the AFC has so many talented young quarterbacks, and Lamar Jackson is certainly among that crop. And he is learning year in, year out. Every quarterback is learning. But for Jackson, it's just putting in the work in the offseason. It's making sure that the Ravens surround him with talent, both on the offensive line and with receiving weapons. Baltimore's close. Baltimore is close. It might not feel that way after the offensive performance we saw. They put up 3 points for the first time in 11 years. That's tough to swallow, you know, especially coming off of a big win against Tennessee. The momentum is high, and then all of a sudden, Baltimore's offense just can't do anything. So it'll be interesting to see how the Ravens gear up this offseason, but it's all a matter of improvement. Can you take the necessary strides as a franchise to win these big football games, to perform better in the big moments? Baltimore can certainly do that, and I'm interested to see how they do it. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow on Locked On Ravens, it's more Ravens talk from us, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.